Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I know some will call this amnesty. All right. Cheese, you are hereby pardoned from the Thanksgiving dinner table. Congratulations. Gobble, gobble.
So the president pardoned another turkey, adding another turkey to the millions already pardoned. We do not know. We're investigating whether the turkey will be qualified for Social Security, Medicare, and Obamacare, because we found out this morning that Social Security, Medicare, and Obamacare is actually open to illegal aliens under the amnesty plan, although he lied about it and said they weren't. Obama's plan to bring turkeys, illegal immigrants, out of the shadows will make millions of illegal aliens eligible for Social Security and Medicare benefits, and they will eventually collect more than they have legally contributed. Thank you very much, Mr. Obama. We understand that the turkeys will now be added to the welfare rolls because of the trauma they suffered having been raised in a cage and having been deprived their rights as full human beings. Now, of course, they're not full human beings. They're turkeys. But, of course, to a liberal, anyone who can hunt and peck can vote. Because if you can stamp your claw on a voting voting registration form, you're a Democrat automatically. It'd be a laughing matter if it wasn't a laughing matter, but you know what? I'm going to be laughing about it anyway because life goes on. I'll give you an example. It's the country was almost set on fire because of Holder, Obama, and the left-wing apparatus in this country, mainly the college professors who have nothing to do but stir up the youth to riot and protest about the oppressed rights, or the oppressed minorities, or whatever. You know the whole story. Yesterday they closed the Lincoln Tunnel in New York City. College and high school kids who have nothing to do. Stoners raised like idiots since the crib. They blocked the Lincoln Tunnel in New York. They shut down the FDR Drive. And you know what? The police couldn't do anything because under the communist mayor in New York and the oppressive Hitlerian regime that we have in the White House, they're afraid to act. The police are now intimidated because Eric Holder has basically threatened them with federal civil rights actions if they do their job. So what would you do if you were a cop? Turn the other way and let them burn and loot and rape and murder. What are you going to do? Put your life on the line? If you stop a rioter, then Eric Holder says you violated their civil rights. So what are you going to do if you're a cop? The hardest job in the world. It's that simple. Federal government is constraining the police while the rioters loot and burn. That's who's doing it. But life goes on. The point is most of America doesn't give a rat's behind about the communists in the White House and their machinations with the useful idiots in the media. You know what? They're going on with their lives. They're traveling, or they're there. They're going to cook. They're going to be with friends and relatives for the better or for the worse. They're going to try to enjoy themselves for 4 days. I myself, for example, I was trying to focus on the news today. I couldn't. I spent most of the morning unfocused on the news, and I was focused on a Dodge Hellcat, a car I want. It's the new American muscle car. I want it because I want the muscle car. Yes, I like fast, loud cars. I'll admit it. I'll admit it. And mainly I want it to offend liberals in my neighborhood. I cannot wait to drive by Priuses on the highway and make them furious. I remember when the Hummer came out 10 years or so ago. The liberals were so compassionate that they keyed the cars. They cut them off. They gave you the finger. You know, all the polite libs who drive in the right lane and cut you off from the left lane, whatever. You know the game. But anyway, I think I found one through a nice dealer up in Michigan, and I'm going to be taking the car. I guess it's coming quickly. And now I hear others in the whole Chrysler Dodge Motor family are interested in making sure Savage gets an American muscle car. I mean, it matches my message, borders, language, and culture. You see, here's the thing, something you don't know about radio, and this is something that has confounded me for 20 years. Liberals constitute a very small percentage of the radio audience. They don't listen to talk radio. If they listen to anything, they listen to NPR because they get all the propaganda all day long that they want to hear. But commercial AM radio is subject to, as you know, sponsorship. And many sponsors are afraid to advertise on conservative talk radio because they've been intimidated by the ad agencies who tell them, oh, no, 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 son, the liberals don't like that. Well, let me ask you something. How many liberal progressives would buy a Hellcat? Answer, zero. They wouldn't be caught dead in one. So that's why I want one, because my audience loves that kind of car. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? This is the first American car that's been made in my lifetime that excites me. Why? Because it reminds me of Steve McQueen and Bullet. And while I still have the ability to put my pedal to the, my metal to the pedal, what is it? Pedal to the metal? My pedals to the metals? My pedal to the floor. I want to race up and down the streets of San Francisco. In fact, I cannot wait to drive it over a hill at full speed and see it jump. As in Steve McQueen's, you ever see that movie Bullet? Remember that movie Bullet with Steve McQueen? That was a great film. It was a great film. I think it was a black one that he had. I don't even remember that car. There's a car just like it for sale as a used car. So I'm a bit of a car collector. And yeah, we can talk about the news, but my mind was on getting ahead in life, meaning with what I want to do. You know, I still have to get up, brush my teeth, make a cup of coffee, let the dog out, put the dog's coat on, take the dog's coat off, take the dog for a run, don't take the dog for a run, see what kind of bills I have to pay, how much money is coming in, plan my lunch, plan my dinner, plan, you know what I'm saying? Life goes on. We don't care what those left wings, I can't use the word, it's a family show, but I have some choice words for them. And let me tell you something that you don't know from history. This is something that has been lost to history since I'm just talking today to you and doing a Savage Rap today on the pre-Thanksgiving show, which is always my favorite day of the year, by the way. Always love this day because it's on the cusp, to use a hippie 60s liberal phrase. Today is on the cusp of the long Thanksgiving weekend. And I can remember back when I was a college student, what this Wednesday was like for me is way back as when I was 17 and 18 years old. I entered college when I was 16, a confluence of birth and skipping a grade. And I remember when I had a, I don't know what car it was at the time. It was one great day. I must have been a junior in college before my father had his heart attack and my life fell apart because I had to leave college and go to work to run the store. Of course, I'm not allowed to mention that, because people think that I inherited everything I have. No, but anyway, it was still a beautiful day. I was going to Queens College in the city of New York, and it was a crisp, cold, cold, cold autumn day. I think, I don't know the car I had. Whatever it was, I don't remember. But I remember driving to college that afternoon, and the campus was just about empty. But it was a certain feeling in the air of lights, and the air was crisp, and the leaves were on the ground, and you felt like you could take on the world, and you felt as though the whole, your whole life was ahead of you. At least I did. Well, it's true. I was able to take on the world, and my whole life was ahead of me. And yet I still have the same feeling. How is that? What, am I crazy? Why do I still feel as though I can take on the world and I have my whole life ahead of me? Because that's the only way to live. You know, I knew an artist, a very famous artist, at least 20 years ago. I was very fortunate to have met him. His name was Erte, E-R-T-E. He was an elderly gentleman at the time I met him through an art dealer in London who supported my research. A great man named Eric Esterick, who no one knows, but I was unable to get any grants because my research was too advanced and too so-called out of the box. And so I funded my own research by doing various things, mainly by working, raising a family, blah, blah, blah. And this gentleman said that he wanted to fund my research, as was done in previous centuries. There were no government grants. It was done by private gentlemen. So through this art dealer, I met Erte on several occasions. In fact, I stayed with them at their estate in the Barbados, and Erte was there. The point of the story is Erte at that point was in his 90s, I believe, and he was building a new house somewhere. And they said to him, Erte, why are you building a new house in your 90s? And he looked at them like he was, like they were crazy, and he said, what do you mean, why am I building it? In other words, why shouldn't he build it? He didn't assume he was going to die shortly. He assumed that life was eternal for him. And that's how an artist has to approach every day, because if you don't approach the canvas, or if you don't approach the ink, or if you don't approach the microphone as though life is eternal, you may as well not get up in the morning, and you certainly shouldn't go on the air. And so that's why I say to you, I bring to you this eternal optimism, despite the regime that we're living through, the oppressive fascistic Obama regime is overwhelmingly horrendous for most people. They are monsters, and they're going to be more monstrous as the days, approach. We have a silent opposition. It's not even a silent majority. We elected another party, and they don't exist. As I've said several times, Mitch McConnell's in Kentucky hunting the turkey, the wild turkey, and Boehner is apparently somewhere drinking the wild turkey. There is no opposition party that I can tell. The country's on fire, and they say nothing, not a word out of their mouths. Instead, the entire narrative is driven by these degenerates in the media whose entire living depends upon mayhem. And that's the name of the game. Now, there is other stuff that we can talk about, and obviously we will. We have the tape of Darren Wilson. We can play that for you if you want. We can do the Thanksgiving stuff. I'll play some music. But it's fundamentally open mic to mic Wednesday on the Savage Nation. And the questions I could raise for you are, why isn't anyone talking about Michael Brown's behavior prior to the confrontation with Officer Wilson? Have you all forgotten him beating up the small Indian shopkeeper that I've mentioned to you for days now? This poor, innocent child, Michael Brown, the hulking giant. Do you want to see the videotape of it where they now say it didn't happen? Well, let me tell you something. It did happen. He beat up an Indian shopkeeper and robbed the store. He threw the Indian shopkeeper around like a rag doll. How come all the immigrant rights activists aren't saying a word about this thug who beat up the Indian, who then called 911? Wilson wasn't looking to hunt someone down. He was looking for a thug who just beat up a shopkeeper and robbed his store. The mother says, I don't believe a word of it, but that mom is really a trustworthy character. Oh, yeah, she has no history of her own, you know. Oh, no, she's as pure as the driven snow. So look at the real history of the story, and you'll see the real history of the story if you want to talk about that. But, you know, if you don't want to talk about that, we could talk about the holidays. What are you going to talk about over the holidays with your relatives? I mean, are you going to talk about the riots? Or are you going to sit and talk about pumpkin pie? Or it's a tough thing to do with families, by the way, is to know what to say that's safe, since most families are politically divided. And I don't care who you are, you know your family is divided politically. It's a very tough subject. I mean, it's tough to figure a subject matter out that isn't going to offend somebody or get someone agitated. And so what is it that's safe to talk about? Well, as my mother said, never talk about politics or religion. Well, little did she know that would make my fortune for me, and both in the printed and spoken word. So, I mean, do you talk about politics and religion or not? What do you talk about? 855-400-7282 is the phone number on the Savage Nation. If you care to reach the show and you get through my call screen and Neil, you will reach more people than you've met in your entire life. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. I don't know why I feel good, but I do. You know, I have some weaknesses, and the most mild of them are pumpkin muffins. Which I don't eat many of, because I watch my diet for the last number of decades. I'm extremely careful, but every once in a while I'll have a pumpkin muffin, which I'm having right now because I need the energy, the sugar. And as soon as the break comes up, I'm brewing an espresso. Now, I want to tell you something. If you combine an espresso with any kind of muffin, what you have is like 700 horsepower in your brain. So I'm good to go today. I feel good. Frank Bullitt's car was a 68 Ford Mustang 390 GT 2 plus 2 fastback. I think it was green. And the bad guys drove a 68 Dodge Charger 440 Magnum. Now, let's see. The Charger was faster than the Mustang with a 13.6 quarter mile to a 13.8 quarter mile. I think that this car is faster. I'm pretty sure that the Hellcat's fast. I'm pretty sure it is. Come on, you're talking about a different story. Did you know Steve McQueen based his character on an actual San Francisco homicide inspector named Dave Toschi, who was made famous for his work as a detective finding the Zodiac killer? And on another note of trivia, McQueen had a copy made of Toschi's custom fast draw shoulder holster. Oh, do we need him today? Man, we need all of those characters from those movies today to go and clean the streets up. Man, we need some of those take no prisoners cops. There's plenty of them out there, tough as nails. But they're constrained by the lawyers, the filthy lawyers. They're filthy lawyers who tell the cops how to do their job until the lawyers themselves are assaulted. And when a lawyer is assaulted in the street, does the lawyer dial 911 for the evil cop, or does he dial ACLU? I'll let you figure it out. Yeah, okay, that's the country I'm living. Oh, here's a story historically that I was going to tell you. I got sidetracked. The riots you're seeing now are part of the historical riots of communism that we have seen for a long time. What you don't know is that in Germany, in the early 1920s, you had riots, you had boycotts, you had people being beaten up in the streets by communist mobs. You don't know this. The communists had created street gangs. They were running wild in the streets of Germany. They were threatening the middle class. And as a result, the black shirts were formed. You don't know any of this history. And don't think I'm making Hitler into a good guy, because I'm not. Hitler was a monster, but Hitler's monstrosities were a result of the excesses of the communists in Germany in the 1920s. It's an historical fact. In other words, the black shirts under Hitler, or should we call them the brown shirts? It was the black shirts under Mussolini. The gangs of Nazis that were formed to beat up the communists and drive them off the streets because they couldn't take a breakdown of law and order in Germany. You don't know any of this. And then, of course, it spiraled out of control. Because once you awaken the sleeping giant, you never know where it's going to end. Once the guillotine starts to fall, you don't know whose neck is going to wind up underneath that sword. So all you leftist vermin who are having a good time right now blocking bridges and tunnels and basically upsetting everybody in this country, be forewarned. Eventually what goes around comes around. And what you are playing with right now is fire. And let me give you a biblical quote that your grandmother may have known. He who sows the wind will reap the whirlwind. So all of you left-wing fools, enjoy it while you can, because your time is coming real soon. I'll be right back to talk about cars and turkeys on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
People are still fanatic fans of Elvis Presley. I mean, I was a kid. I was just a kid. That's where my peg pants came from. Remember I told you about the saddle blue stitched pants that I had in the seventh grade, and I was in a scuffle in a schoolyard, and the pant leg got ripped. And my mother, you know, I was afraid to tell her, and they fixed it. It was because Elvis wore those peg pants. We all wanted to be Elvis. Who do kids want to be today? I don't know. Do boys want to be like heroes? Do they model themselves after heroes? Who do they model? Like either you wanted to be a movie star, an actor, like a kind of guy, a pilot, some kind of heroic image. Who do boys want to be today? I don't know. Who does a boy want to be like today? What is a boy's role model? Who does he want to be like? Who's he got to look up to? I can tell some crude jokes about what they've done to the minds of boys in this country. All of the mean-faced, clipped-haired brigades out there who can control the brains of the youth. But I'd rather not. I'd rather play some music and talk about cars and stuff like that. Why was Elvis so popular? You know, if you look back on him, he had a bit of a... I don't want to use the word metrosexual look, because that would be wrong. He had a softness to his face that verged on the feminine, and yet he had the macho body of a Southern guy. You know, it was a funny combo, which is why he appealed to men and women. I'm not suggesting anything by that. I could care less. You know, that part of a person's life is their business. I've told you that before. But the thing is, there was a mutual, it was a certain something about Elvis Presley that cut across the lines man-woman, male-female. Don't you think? Am I right about that? Did anyone ever? I'm sure they've written about it. I'm not a musicologist or anything like that. Here we are. What should I play for you tonight on the Savage Nation? We could play so many good rock and roll songs. Oh, this is a great one. Mickey and Sylvia, Love is Strange. We'll do a little disc jockey work because I'm getting in the mood of just relaxing this weekend. Just picture young Michael studying geometry, racking his brain with a ducktail haircut, listening to Love is Strange. All these songs. What a time that was in America. It was a beautiful time. I mean, I remember it so distinctly. It's amazing what the 50s were like. And for me, I think I'm stuck in the 50s. I have to admit it. Why should I lie to you? Tell you I want to live now in the 14 under this communist regime that we're stuck under, this devious communist regime that would have been arrested in my time for sedition. That's right. The very acts that Obama and the others are getting away with would have been considered seditious acts in the 50s. Eisenhower would have put him in the slammer. The FBI would have arrested them. Go figure. Look how things have changed. Don't you just love it? The ordinary events of the president stealing democracy right out from under our nose, like a rabbit out of a hat and getting away with it because there's no opposition party and certainly no opposition press, would have been sedition in the 50s. That's all. So you'll have to forgive me for looking at America from a different, through a different set of eyes. Okay? I am, I can't say the rest of what I'd like to say because it's a family. I love that line because it's a family show, and I let you figure out what I was about. Hey, one of these days I got to do a live show where it's not a family show. Wouldn't that be great, Robert? I imagine doing a live show one day where it's not a family show. The last live show I did, you know what year it was? Teddy was a puppy. He was black. Now he's like 10 years old and he's silver gray. It's 10 years. He marks 10 years since my last live event at the Concord Pavilion. I think it's called the Chronicle Pavilion now. Something like that. And I had 7,000 paying fans. And it was a great night. I drove the Cadillac out on the stage, which I've subsequently sold. I couldn't hold on to it. That red 65 Caddy, what a symbol of America. I couldn't keep it, though. 19 feet, 6 inches of Detroit steel and glass. It was gorgeous. But I sold the car. I hope the gentleman's enjoying it. I think he took it to Alaska. I don't know where. And in its place in that same bed in the garage is a 1970 XKE Jaguar, this baby blue, you know, unbelievable car. So, I mean, it's like every car I ever owned I wish I kept. Do you ever get that feeling that you wish you still had every car you ever owned and every house you ever lived in? Do you know that I still go back to houses that I lived in and some that I never lived in dreams? I have a repetitive dream of a house I go to that I don't even own, that I never lived in, and I go to it on a regular basis. I don't even know why. It's like in a neighborhood I didn't really want to be in, and I bought it when I didn't have money, and it's still there, and then I moved on, but I didn't sell it. And every time I go in, it's like 4 or 5 stories with a long staircase. I never owned such a house. And every time I go in there, I cannot close the doors and windows properly. It's very insecure. It's like burglars could get in, and you wouldn't know that they're in it. There's no alarm system, and I never sleep well in the house. Where is that house? Well, that's where America sleeps, is in this rickety, tall house. And you can't lock the windows and close the doors anymore. Not when you have what we have raging in the streets of America. So forgive me if I want to do a little nostalgia on the Savage Nation, which is basically what I'm doing. It's like a plus, minus, past, present. A feliz buenos dias. Feliz buen dias. You know, there's no such Spanish name for it. We know Feliz Navidad, which is Merry Christmas in Spanish, because it's a very Catholic country, Mexico and Guatemala, all those countries are very, very Catholic. So I asked a Mexican friend, I said, how do you say Happy Thanksgiving? Because I know you don't have a holiday for that. He said, well, let me think. I think he said Feliz Bueno. It couldn't be Buenos Dias, because that's a different declarative statement. It's Feliz Buen Dias, a happy good day. Who knows, whatever. But we have a lot to be thankful for when you think about it. We're thankful that Obama was just voted out of office. We're thankful that we still have a putative democracy, and they threw the Republicans in, and we threw Nancy Pelosi and her left-wing stupidity out. Yeah, you wouldn't know it by the vermin in the media, and you wouldn't know it by the orchestrated riots in America that they just lost a big election. You wouldn't know that Obama's amnesty is unpopular even with Democrats. You wouldn't know any of that because we've lost the media, but we lost the media a long time ago. There is no press. There's only talk radio on the internet. Other than that, there's nothing. There's nothing that stands between this gang and absolute and total power. You understand that, don't you? And that's why, as I'm saying to you, we're very, very lucky and we have a lot to be thankful for. We voted and we said no to a Barack Obama and his policies. Remember, he was the third rail for every Democrat who ran. They wanted nothing to do with him because even to a Democrat, he is so out of the ken of normal Democrat party maneuvers that they wanted nothing to do with him. They knew he was unpopular, mainly because of Obamacare, but that's just the surface. That's the tip of the iceberg. Everyone knows how devious this guy is and how anti-American he is. Everyone knows that with more than a Ferguson IQ. Anyone who has an IQ higher than Ferguson knows how devious Barack Obama is, okay? But the fact of the matter is, he was just voted out because of that. But you wouldn't know it, because immediately the Alinsky crowd figured out how to cover it up by stirring up the hatred in the streets. You get it? But believe me, something just did happen. So we do have an awful lot to be thankful for. And I want to tell you, you know, if I added up what I'm thankful for, let me start with it. I mean, I don't know where I'm going today. I'll do cars and all of that, but I guess I'm just doing a rambling show because that's what you'd expect on a discursive day like today, where people's minds themselves are all over the place. You're not focused on the riots. You're not really focused. You know what's going on. You know it'll dissipate. You know the bums will go home eventually and smoke their pot and drink their booze. You know that's coming. Soon they'll calm down, and then you'll have to pay the tab for repairing the damage that they did. The taxpayer will pay it through higher insurance rates. So Obama gets a twofer out of it. He attacks the taxpayer, and he attacks the insurance companies. I mean, what could be better? He actually gets a threefer out of it. The rioters who burnt down their own neighborhoods will get a new neighborhood to burn down in 10 years. Well, maybe 12 years when their children become rioters. Who knows? But the thing is, we have a lot to be thankful for. I personally do when I think about it. First of all, I have to thank God that I'm still healthy enough to do a radio show every day. I want you know what a miracle this is? To be able to get up and formulate my thoughts as articulately as I do with the energy that I have. I did a 3-hour show yesterday, live, right through top to bottom. Nothing was pre-recorded. Sometimes I pre-record a section here and there in the third hour. You know that. Straight out because of the riots. I did it. I did that show. And I had more energy than I had 20 years ago when I got into radio. Where do I get the energy from? It's God-given. It's God who gave me the voice and the brain and the health to be on the air. That's number one. It's God who gave me the ability to conceptualize books and write them such as Stop the Coming Civil War. It's God who gave me that power. And then God gave me the luck to have a publisher, Hachette, to publish the book. God gave me the luck to have met the gentlemen who run Cumulus Media. And they gave me this opportunity on all these great stations that you're listening to me on. So there's always God's hand somewhere along the way, both positive and negative. And I have a lot to be thankful for. I have to be thankful to my parents for having given birth to me. For it was not for Benjamin and Rachel, I wouldn't be here. They're both gone. They're in heaven. But they're not here. But I have to thank them for it, despite the difficulties in their lives and whatever. They did the best they could with this rebellious young man named Michael, and here I am. And I have to be thankful for so many things. But you know what? You know, I have to really thank you. You don't know this. You are the reason that I'm still here. If it wasn't for listeners like you listening to this show as loyally as you do and as long as you do and patronizing the sponsors and talking about the show and then buying the book once in a while and they come out once a year, once every few years, I wouldn't be here. I'd just be another old guy with a golf club. And I don't play golf, so you can imagine how that would work out. That's why I'll be doing radio until the last minutes on the earth. Michael Savage, always bold, always winning, champion for America's borders, language, and culture. The phone number here is 855-400-7282, WBAP in Dallas, Texas. Joe, thanks for listening. What's on your mind, Joe?
Hey, Mike. I had the privilege to drive the new Hellcat out in New Mexico when they were doing tests. I can't really give names. I have a friend that works for a magazine company. And you're comparing it to like the 68 Ford Fuji Charger. It's like comparing that to a wheelbarrow. You're going to say you're 50 years younger when you drive this new Hellcat.
Well, you know what attracted me to it is not only the 700 some odd horsepower and the fact that it'll burn rubber at 60 if you floor it, but the name Hellcat, as you know, is derived from one of our great World War II fighter planes. Everyone who knows anything about history knows that. And whoever's in marketing at Dodge is brilliant for tying it into the great heroic age of fighter jets. You know, wasn't the Hellcat a gigantic, heavy front, huge cowl, you know, rotary engine on it? I remember those airplanes when I was building them as a kid.
Yeah, you're going to be impressed with it. And I can tell you, America, despite of Obama, is really building cars. Another car you can look at, you mentioned the kind it is the Shelby Super Snake. So just take a look. I'm not telling you to buy one. They're 850 horse, and they're just mean as the day is long. I know. I'm a car collector. I got over 30 cars. I have a couple 12-cylinder Mercedes, AMGs. I got old Hemis, real original 70s, and big block Chevys. But there are no comparison to the cars and what they're doing to them today. You're going to wear a helmet.
I understand, Joe. You're a test driver yourself?
Yeah, I used to be a professional test driver.
Amazing. Amazing. So you remember the movie Bullet with Steve McQueen?
Well, I remember the Mustang and the Charger.
Yeah, I love that movie. I love it. You know, I love watching it because the street scenes in San Francisco are so familiar to me even to this day. But if you see when they shoot down to the Embarcadero, all those old rickety stores are gone. You know, the overhead freeway is gone. But it's interesting to me because I still hang around in that neighborhood. Joe, thanks for the tip. I appreciate it. That brings us to 47 minutes after the hour. It opens up one line at 8. What is my number? I don't know my number, but I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Buenos dias, señoras y señoritas de la Nación Savage. All right, it's enough with the Pollyanna already. What will be, that's how Obama got where he is, from all of the people who think what will be, whatever, we can't let that get to us today because we're all feeling too good despite the gang that's running the country. And remember, this is the gang that can shoot straight. Never forget that. This is the gang that can shoot quite straight indeed. And if they're willing to wipe out a nation to maintain their power, what might they do to a mere individual who stands in their way? Michigan WJR, Paul, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Here we go.
Steve, Paul, go ahead, please.
Hello, Mr. Hellcat Savage.
Yes, what's on your mind, my friend?
Yes, I bought a 1969 Z28 as a youth, and that was the most exciting thing I've ever had.
What's your question or comment about today?
Previous to the election, you said we had some possible voice with the Republican Party. Could you tell me how to raise my personal leftist objections to this party?
You mean to get your voice heard by John Wild Turkey Boehner?
Yes.
Well, I think we'll have to wait until he comes down off his jag, when he's back from vacation from the Wild Turkey that he's on. And when Mitch McConnell ceases chasing turkeys in Kentucky, maybe we'll have a chance to talk to him.
I would appreciate to hear the common man's voice heard.
That's right. We're not only the silent majority in this country that just voted, we are now the silenced majority, and I do not intend to remain silent much longer, Paul, but I thank you for calling the program. 855-400-7282 is the Savage Nation. KSFO Radio in San Francisco. Petri, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
What's on my mind? I got to spread some news about the city council in Berkeley. Have you heard the news that City Council in Berkeley, California, they're going to vote on putting stickers on gas tanks? Every gas station will have a sticker to warn buyers that if you're buying gasoline, you're going to contribute to global warming.
Gobble warming. All of those phony hypocrites flying off to their vacations, those two-faced phonies in Berkeley. I don't live there. Put a sticker on their mouths better. Just put a sticker on their yaps, their left-wing yaps, those double-talking phonies. Put a sticker on their mouth. Gobble, gobble, gobble warning. Watch out for gobble warnings now.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Be sure to look up Michael Savage. You'll find him nowhere. Well, all the old hippies who had flowers in their hair are now running around with transfusion trees and they're on tranquilizers, but they're still stirring up hatred for the very things that have given them the freedoms that they have. And if people have written, it's a crying shame that Obama sides with the lawless thugs and throws the productive under the bus. They said that the grand jury came to the correct conclusion. Unlike cases of actual police brutality, the preponderance of evidence clearly indicates that Officer Wilson did not deliberately gun down Brown in cold blood while the victim had his hands up in the air. Nonsense. Autopsy results and ballistics evidence suggest that Brown attacked Wilson and attempted to grab his gun before the shooting. For Obama, however, this is not about facts. It's about intentional race baiting. And that's not the only email on this subject. If we still had men like Mayor Richard Daley in Chicago in power, I can guarantee you the arsonists and looters would have been shot dead in the street. You don't know that, but Daley, Democrat, you know, strong man, allegedly corrupt, he didn't put up with it. Richard Daley of Chicago, when he was mayor, said, shoot to kill arsonists and shoot to maim looters. That's what he said. He didn't sit there and lock the gates and wring their hands and call in the FBI to stop the police from doing their job. So here we are. Here we are. Mr. Amnesty. He has no amnesty for the American shopkeeper. He has amnesty for the mobs. Go figure. Papa John's female manager defends looters with bare hands. Did you see that video? Unbelievable. She stood up to one of these thugs herself, a thin, I think she's an Asian woman. She confronted a looter with her bare hands, and this was a thin Asian woman who did not want her job destroyed. And guess what the punk did? The masked punk. He flipped off the manager and ran away. That's an example of what could have happened if the cops were unleashed on these vermin. And now a word from Michael Savage. See, what happened is this. I had an easy hour. The first hour was a lot of fun, but I told you I was having a pumpkin muffin and an espresso, which I did have, I must admit. But now that the sugar effects have worn off, I'm going into the fugue phase of the show. I feel like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and I feel, I don't know who was the good guy or the bad guy. I never knew who this is part of my problem, is I didn't know if Dr. Jekyll was the good guy or the bad guy, and I didn't know if Mr. Hyde was the good guy or the bad guy. I had no idea, so to me they're one and the same. So I don't know whether I'm going into my Hyde or Jekyll phase on the Savage Nation. But I know the sugar is wearing off, and I feel it in my, I feel it like I can't control it. Like, I feel like, oh, God, I feel I'm losing this high that I just had, the sugar high. And now I'm moving into like, oh, God, the depression's coming back. No, I need more sugar. I need more caffeine. I need to keep feeding my brain. My brain is demanding more sugar. I'm not going to have any. I can only do it once a day. I do it once a week, once a month. It's enough. So the topics are many. Let's begin now on this hour with Darren Wilson, who appeared on George Stephanopoulos' show last night with clip five. Here's the officer, Wilson. Five.
I had gone to open the door and get out of the car. And when I did so, as I was opening the door, I said, hey, come here for a minute. And that's when he turned and said, what the f*** are you going to do about it? And slammed my door shut on me. I used my door to try and push him back and yell at him to get back. And again, he just pushed the door shut and just stares at me. And as I look back at him, all of a sudden, punches start flying.
He threw the first punch?
Yes. He threw the first one and hit me in the left side of my face.
Okay, now let's go to the next one where Officer Wilson tells Stefan all of us what happened next.
I don't know what or how many hit me after that. I just know there was a barrage of swinging and grabbing and pulling for about 10 seconds. I had reached out my window of my right hand to grab onto his forearm because I was going to try and move him back and get out of the car to where I'm no longer trapped. And when I felt it, I just felt the immense power that he had. I mean, the way I've described it is, it was like a five-year-old holding on to Hulk Hogan. That's just how big this man was.
Okay, well, I thought he was a youth. I thought he was a teenager, an innocent teenager on the way back from medical school studies. Go on to the next one, please.
And then as I'm holding him, I see him coming back around with his left hand, and it's in the shape like this, and it comes in through the window and just a solid punch to the right side of my face. I mean, the next thing was, how do I survive?
Do you realize how tough a police officer really has to be?
Do you have any idea why we can't lower standards any further than they have already been lowered in San Francisco and other cities to bring in? I don't mind women who are tough. I mean, I've seen tough women tougher than most men. But when you start lowering standards for firemen, here in San Francisco we have a laughing stock for fire department. You have no idea. The women that they put above all the men are unbelievable. They're two blocks away from any fire in a command center, and the men are running up the ladders to save everybody. It's unbelievable what an upside-down world you live in. So play the next one.
Where's your gun at that point?
I keep it on my right hip. Mm-hmm. I take it out, and I come up, I point it at him. And when I said, get back or I'm going to shoot you. And then his response, immediately, he grabbed the top of my gun. And when he grabbed it, he said, you're too much of a to shoot me. And while he's doing that, I can feel his hand trying to come over my hand and get inside the trigger guard and try and shoot me with my own gun.
Jeez. Now, could you imagine yourself in such a situation where there's no one but you and him and your life is in danger? So listen what happens next.
That's when I pulled the trigger for the first time.
What happened?
Didn't go off. the gun was actually being jammed by his hand on top of the firearm. So I tried again, and again another click.
Wow.
And this time I'm like, this has to work, otherwise I'm going to be dead. He's going to get this gun away from me. Something's going to happen, and I'm going to be dead. So I pull a third time, and it finally goes off.
That was the first time you'd ever used your gun, right?
Yes, it was.
In all your years as a police officer?
Yes.
All right, so we're listening to Officer Wilson of Ferguson fame. Let's hear number 10 next.
So you say he starts to run, does a stutter step, starts to come towards you, mm-hmm. and?
At that time, I gave myself another mental check. Can I shoot this guy? Legally, can I? And the question I answered myself was, I have to. If I don't, he will kill me if he gets to me.
Wow. Now, why would he think he was going to kill him? That's the interesting question. So in the next one, in 11, we'll hear what he says.
After he's coming at me and I decide to shoot, I fired a series of shots and paused.
What did you see?
I noticed at least one of them hit him. I don't know where, but I saw his body kind of just flinch a little. And after that, I paused and I again yelled, stop, get on the ground, giving him the opportunity to stop. And he ignored all the commands and he just kept running.
Unbelievable. Kept running with a bullet in him, a 40 caliber bullet in him. That's why the police should have 45s, but let's go on to number 12.
Well, this time he's about 15 feet away. So I start backpedaling because he's just getting too close and he's still not stopping. He gets to about 8 to 10 feet, and as he does that, he kind of starts to lean forward like he's going to tackle me. And I look down my barrel of my gun and I fired, and what I saw was his head, and that's where it went.
Unbelievable. Finally, in clip 13, we hear the rest of the story from ABC on the Savage Nation.
Something you think that will always haunt you?
I don't think it's a haunting. It's always going to be something that happened.
You have a very clean conscience.
The reason I have a clean conscience is because I know I did my job right.
That's right. What would any other man have done? Remember, there's a difference between an officer of the law, duly sworn, and a civilian. Let's just start with that. They have different rights and responsibilities than we do. I don't know if you know that. They may come from us, meaning they are us. They're in our families or they are us. But once they don the uniform and put on the gun, they have a whole different set of responsibilities and constraints on them. We understand that. And the whole rub here is, did he exceed his authority and constraints by shooting Brown? And I think that anyone who actually read the grand jury evidence, as you know, the mobs don't read. They're basically illiterate mobs. And those who were quite literate were egging the mobs on. The out-of-state white commie agitators who came in from Chicago and New York and faraway places. They're the ones stirring up the children. In New York, for example, where did the school children, teenagers from high schools, get it to close down the Lincoln Tunnel and the FDR Drive? The agitators, the commie agitators, told them what to do. So this is not happening by itself, and the government is basically encouraging it by not stopping it. Remember, the government could have stopped this from day one, but instead Eric Holder went there to stir the pot and to tell the rioters they were doing the right thing, and the character in the White House who pretends to be a man in the middle is not the man in the middle. He is winking and nodding at them every step of the way, because he could have told the rioters on that night that we will prosecute you to the full extent of the law. If you break the law, we'll use federal charges against you. If you do violate anyone's civil rights, you, the rioters, are going to pay it. That's what we're there for. But he didn't say that. He sent 100 FBI agents to Ferguson. Why? To intimidate the police and the National Guard. That's the reason that the buildings burned. That's the reason. Now, I listened to a newscast last night where I heard one of the idiots in the news blame the fire department. They actually said, oh, yeah, I blame those fires in the fire department because they didn't put them out. Can you believe that this is the kind of rhetoric coming out of these drug addicts with pancake makeup called newscasters? I've never heard anything like this. Is there nobody in charge at Fox News? We know MSNBC is bad. But I'm hearing stuff coming out of Shep Smith's mouth and the idiots he has out on the street that really match MSNBC lately. They're no different. Blaming the cops, blaming the firemen. Look, I know they have big ratings. I understand that, but there's a difference between big ratings and the truth. They're not one and the same. And I, on this show, a one-man band with some very good production staff, I have only one thing going for me, and I tried to find the truth. the plain truth, and that's all I can give you, is one man's opinion. And I'm telling you that the media is as responsible for this as is President Obama and Eric Holder. They fanned the flames. They kept the flames going. It's that simple. But I didn't even want to talk about it. So now I'm going to go to some of the callers. Let's go to Detroit, where my car is sitting in a lot right now. Detroit, WJR. Nancy, thanks for calling. What's on your mind, Nancy?
Hi. I just wanted to tell you real fast that I know you don't want to write any more books, but you might want to write a couple of fiction books, and I just can tell you the titles, and you can take them from there. And I got the idea from one of your callers. But the title would be It's a Wonderful Life. It's Christmas time. Made me think of it. It's a Wonderful Life. What America would be if Obama wasn't born. And then
in 2016, the book that should be written is It's a Wonderful Life, ... now that Obama's gone. What's the next title?
Yeah. The other one was It's a Wonderful Life, America if Dr. Martin Luther King hadn't died.
It's a Wonderful Life now that Lois Lerner is in prison. That would be another title I'm considering.
I saw a thing on Facebook, and it's pretty popular right now, going around saying, who's your favorite Republican leader who is a civil rights activist? And then they wrote, I can't either. So I looked it up. CNN had a report, 10 things that you might not know about the civil rights law. And there's two things in there about the Republicans' role in creating and passing that law. And it would be if it weren't for some Republican leaders.
Yeah, I'm not that interested in Republican, Democrat. I'm interested in communist versus America. And right now we have a communist insurrection in the streets being fanned and flamed by hardcore radicals in the White House and in the administration. Let's not mince words. Just because the media isn't explaining to you what they are, I know what they are. You say, well, they're not wearing red berets and marching in the streets. They don't have to. They're not wearing red scarves like the Khmer Rouge did in Cambodia. I get it. But their policies and politics are almost identical, and thank you for that call. It takes some history to understand the history we're living through. It's 19 minutes after the hour, if you care to call about any of these topics. And we don't have to just get stuck on the rioting and all of that. We can talk about any other topic on Open Mic to Mike Day. On the Savage Nation. Of course we're all angry at Obama. We know that he was involved in this. We know directly. Why did he meet the protest leader in the White House the day after and say, stay the course? What does he mean, stay the course? What course? You mean make sure that the matches are dry and that the gasoline is fresh? What did he mean by stay the course instead of having the protest leader in the White House say, look, if you go overboard, you burn anything, we're going to throw the book at you. He didn't say that. He hasn't said it yet. Not at all. Paul, on WABC Radio in New York City. Go ahead. What's on your mind, Paul?
Hey, Mike. Listen, I just wanted a little brief thing. My grandparents came from Russia, and they killed some of them Russian people. And that happened across the entire world. I was in the middle of these retards, excuse me the language, kids misguided by white anarchists.
Paul, hold on. I'm missing something. Paul, I don't know what you are saying. You said grandparents from Russia, and then what?
They got away from getting killed when Russia killed 10 million people when the communists took over. And what I saw last night on these protest marches, I passed by these guys, and you got black and white kids being stupefied, brainwashed by white anarchists screaming.
Oh, absolutely. They're potentially the Khmer Rouge. I mean, the correct model is not so much the Russian Revolution, it's the Cambodian Revolution. Unless these mobs are curtailed, we could wind up with something as disastrous as what happened in Cambodia under that Pol Pot, who, remember, was a mild-mannered professor who went to Paris to study Marxism, and he came back a cold-blooded murderer. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
Pocket may be empty. I'd be a
millionaire. Okay, it's enough. But songs like this inspired me as a poor youth from rags to riches. I can't explain it to you. The music was part of the culture, and it still is. But instead of encouraging kids to work their way out of poverty, encourages kids to maim, kill, and rape. That's all. Listen to rap music. Maine, kill, rape, and hey, everybody. That's the music coming out now from the music industry. But you listen to this music. A poor kid would say, I'll go from rags to riches. If I work hard, I'll work my way up, and I can make something of myself. What a different world it is, huh? What a different world. So the media fueled the flames of this with the fake narrative, the fake story about him running with his hands up. And some of the, quote, witnesses later retracted. It turns out they made the whole thing up. They invented the whole thing, and they changed their stories, or then admitted that they never actually saw the shooting. And the rest is history, of course. But don't tell that to a CNN. They're not interested in the facts.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Life could be a dream, could be a dream, sweetheart. Funny thing how music affects your brain. Shanani Ding Dong, a lang a lang a lang. I don't know, it sounded like a wild time to me. Let's see what my let's see what my horoscope has to say. Aries, you may feel out of step with other people today, but don't let it worry you. Sometimes you just have to do your own thing in your own way, at your own speed. Maybe you're not out of step. Maybe everyone else is. Yeah, I felt that way most of my life. I've always felt that way. I love horoscopes. You know, they're like fortune cookies. Do you really believe them? Sometimes they're eerily predictive. They're weird. I mean that. And most of the time, it's like a fortune cookie. I mean, you have shrimp charmaine or whatever. What do I always get? Shrimp and lobster sauce, or prawns and lobster sauce. Or I get some noodle dish that leaves my fingers look like I injected Viagra into the fingers. But the thing is, you get the fortune cookie. I don't eat sugar most of the time, except the pumpkin muffin now and again when I want to stir up Mr. Hyde during the crash. But I don't eat the fortune cookie. You read it to each other at the dinner, right? A fortune. It's a joke. The same with the horoscope. I send them to friends, and sometimes they're weirdly predictive, honestly. I know they're not religious, you know, not supposed to, like, it's hard, you know, something bad. It's like fortune telling or whatever. But I'm a strange guy. I mean, I believe definitely God is in charge of it all. So I read a horoscope. I'm sure he doesn't mind. Well, God's going to punish me. Now, Michael Savage, come before me for judgment. Let's see. You've done pretty good in your life. You made a few missteps here and there, but your big mistake was you read horoscopes. And for that reason, you're going straight to you nowhere. No, come on. Just for reading the horoscope? Yes, it says right there in Leviticus, thou shalt not do divination. But I didn't just read horoscopes. That's all it was. It was innocent. They're like fortune cookies, God. Sorry, it says it right there in Leviticus. You're going right to you nowhere. Judgment Day. I mean, you ever think about judgment? There really is one. Has it ever entered your mind that it may really be one? And all of the demons out there who think that they're above it all? All of those who are getting away with wrecking our great country and destroying everything. You know, the only reason they're doing this is they don't believe in God. They don't believe in punishment. They only believe in the here and now. So they figure, if I can get away with it now, what do I care about the afterlife when I know there is no afterlife? It's an interesting concept. It doesn't mean that God-fearing people can't be killers. Look at the Islamo-fascists. I mean, they do pretty good believing in God, burying children alive, you know. But the thing is, it's an interesting thing, the whole deal. Hey, I found it. I swear to God, I am so amazed at what I just did. I flipped over the Old Testament in English, and I found it. Thou shalt not suffer a sorceress to live. Could you believe this? It's in Exodus. Thou shalt not suffer a sorceress to live. And that comes just before, whoever lieth with a beast shall surely be put to death. Well, I think that passage was eliminated in all the Bible sent it to Emmenclaw, Washington. I'm pretty sure that passage in Exodus is left out in Emmenclaw, Washington, where horses are at a premium. If a thief be found breaking in and be smitten so that he dieth, there shall be no blood guiltiness upon. See, the Bible was clear. Look at this. Here's Ferguson in the Bible. Obama liked to quote scriptures when he granted amnesty. Suddenly found God, remember? Suddenly he was quoting scriptures. The most atheistic president in history. Suddenly the scriptures say that a stranger amongst thee shall be given Medicare. I write. Well, here's the Bible in Exodus. Da 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 da. Here. If a man steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall pay 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep. If a thief be found breaking in and be smitten so that he dieth, there shall be no blood guiltiness for him. Meaning shoot him dead and let the coroner sort it out. You get it? That's interesting. If the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood guiltiness for him. He shall make restitution. If he have nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. If the theft be found in his hand alive, whether it be ox or ass or sheep, he shall pay double. It's interesting. That's very interesting stuff. I once, you know, want to hear something weird? I think it was back in the 60s. I think I borrowed a guy's Volkswagen, or he borrowed mine, and someone wrecked it. Either he wrecked mine or I wrecked. I don't remember which. And I went to the Bible to find the answer to that one. It was in here something about if you borrow someone's ass. I know it sounds funny. It's always something when you say that. But if you borrow someone's donkey, however you, I never understood why I have to call it an ass or a donkey, but let's say a donkey. It makes it less scatolot, whatever. If you borrow a man's donkey and the donkey gets injured while you're borrowing it, like let's say it falls in a ditch and breaks his donkey leg, the Bible tells you what you have to do with it. You have to replace the donkey. It's crazy, but it makes sense. What do you think the Bible was for? It was a set of laws and prohibitions to keep the human animal in order, in check. Otherwise, they look like they look in Ferguson. If the human being is not constrained, you know what they look like? Take a look at New York City with the animals on the FDR Drive or blocking the Lincoln Tunnel. These are children who were raised by liberal parents who have never been told no about anything. Ever. Nothing. Spoiled brats. And that's why there's a lot to be said for the Ten Commandments. And that's why we need a law and order president. You know, I touched on that yesterday, and many people didn't even hear it. But I am telling you, the 2016 presidency is open to a law and order candidate on the Republican side. I don't know who that is. I wish there was one candidate on the Republican side who said, I am for law and order, borders, language, and culture. That's an automatic win. Automatic win. America is so fed up with this lawless anti-American administration that they could sweep the presidential election no matter what happens. Okay, what's your platform, Mr. Savage? I stand for law and order and America's borders, language, and culture. Oh, they start attacking. What do you mean borders? What do you mean by borders? Well, I have to explain it to you, idiot. What do you mean by language? What are you, a linguist? A linguist racist? You stand for English only? Yeah, I stand for English only. If they don't want to learn the language, they can't vote and can't collect a welfare check. Period. That's number two. But what about culture? What do you mean culture? Aren't there multicultures here? No, there's no multicultures here. It's a melting pot. That's how we became a nation, moron. Yeah, it's a melting pot. Keep your culture and become an American. That's the answer. Now, I could do that with any one of them. None of them could beat me, which is why I'm never invited on Fox News. Why do you think Blondie wouldn't have me on Stop the Coming Civil War? Because she couldn't control me. She's a control freak. You can take one look at her. I mean, let me ask you a question. I don't want to be derogatory or misogynist here. And I'm not picking her in particular. But the youth, would you want to live with her? I mean, she's good looking. Would you want to spend one day with that woman? Are you crazy? No. Robert, could you? Is she your type, Blondie, on Fox News? Yeah, she's good looking, but would you want to spend 3 minutes with her in a car, stuck in a tunnel, and her nails are still drying, and the windows are up, and the air conditioning just failed? No. Obamacare offers firms $3,000 incentive to hire illegals over native-born workers. Thanks, Barry. We know where your loyalties lie. Romney tops Republican poll for 2016 ahead of Clinton election. Oh, that already. Romney, that's just what we need is Romney, a real law and order guy. I'll tell you what did him in is when the wife went on the campaign trail. Oh, my God. Mrs. Romney. Oh, yes. Mitt Carey. Oh, yes. He does the laundry. That was hell. Hey, yeah. That's just what we needed to hear in a world of terrorism, Mrs. Romney, that he does the laundry and he's an even-handed husband. Just what we wanted. Father knows best. Mr. Peepers. He wears an apron. He takes the toast out. He takes the garbage out. He's just a perfect housemate. Just what America needed. Thanks, Ann. Romney tops Republican poll for 16 ahead of Clinton in the election. And he, by the way, he's a first-rate man. I'm going to repeat again. He asked, how's the Villainous restaurant? I said, try it. It's the best Villainous. It was almost like as stereotypical as that. I liked Romney. He's the kind of guy that would be in a country club that would never invite me in, but he would meet me in the back door, let's say, to share a Diet Coke with me or something like that. No, Romney was the kind of guy. He was a very patrician type of man. I am not patrician. I'm a man of the people. And one of the things that didn't work for Romney is, frankly, he was too patrician. You understand what I'm saying? It's a negative in a world of the type we live in today. And I was surprised he showed up without bodyguards, and we had a very honest discussion. And this was 3 years ago or so. And it's when he was still talking to me till his advisor said, don't talk to that savage. Well, of course, the rest is history. But the fact of the matter is, as they saw in the last election, there's an awful lot of people listen to Michael Savage and read his books and vote. Yes, Mr. Romney and all of your stupid advisors. Yes, a lot of savages and savagettes can actually read books and listen to the radio, and they know the difference between, let us say, what you actually believe in and what you say. And the one issue I brought up that he was uncomfortable with was immigration. I said, where do you stand on immigration? As I ate my calamari and he ate his veal. And he said, well, that's a tough question. And he said, it's because if we come down too hard on it, we'll alienate the Hispanic voter. I said, why are you worried so much about the Hispanic voter and not worried about all the other voters? Why are they suddenly more important than everyone else? How did that happen? When do we become a suburb of Mexico? Can anyone explain that to me? Of course we want to make certain that as many people as possible engage in the political process. But why do you pander to the so-called Hispanic vote when even 50% of Hispanics oppose Obama's amnesty, by the way? So that was a nice night, and I left it at that, and he didn't get anywhere because he alienated the entire conservative movement. And look who we wound up with. Look what we wound up with. Oh, don't get me started. John McCain should have retired after he set off that Zuni missile on the aircraft carrier by accident, by pressing the wrong button, and almost sank the aircraft carrier. Anyone could have hit the wrong button on a deck of a carrier and almost sank the ship. But did he have to go into politics after that, this crazed warhorse? Do you know that McCain is going to run and destroy the Republican Party again? Are you aware of that? Wait, it's even worse. I'll tell you what else is going to happen. Lurking in the background is the tuba player's husband. He's going to come back, and that's old Newt Gingrich. The very same man who undermined Romney, Newt Gingrich, if you remember what went on before the election, Newt Gingrich hired the most vicious opposition researchers, and every damaging statement that Newt Gingrich and his vile crew used against Romney was then used by the Democrats to destroy Romney in the campaign. You don't know that. But you can thank Newt Gingrich for Obama's election, because I think Romney would have won otherwise. But Gingrich was so vicious that he should never, ever be permitted to run again. I mean, I don't know what the Republicans are thinking. I don't know what they're thinking. I would stand a better chance than Newt Gingrich, by the way. And I'm not running for anything. I told you that. I'm way past that point in my life. I have thought about it. I've played with it. And I said, wouldn't it be fun if I leave radio in 2015? Or when you have to leave, you know, if you're going to run. You can't use, if you're in the media, you know you have to resign, right? So you have to leave because it's not fair. If you have a platform every day, of course you're going to have an advantage. So you have to say, well, I'm thinking of it. I'm an exploration committee. I know what an exploration committee is. I have a presidential exploration committee. It's Teddy and I. And I talked to him again as near as last night. He said, no, don't run. I need you to cut up the chicken for me every morning and, you know, cut up those carrots. I like the way you walk me. So all right, I put that ahead of running for any office. But the fact is, if I were to run, which I'm not going to do, I am guessing by what I see just went on in the last election, despite the hatred that would come at me from the vermin in the media and the people who just burnt down half of America, or let's say they would have liked it to really burn, the rats in the media would come after me tooth and claw, including Blondie, by the way. Oh, then she'd have me on, because she'd get the walking papers and the talking points from Rupert Murdoch himself, and they would go after me tooth and claw, but they wouldn't be able to touch me because I could always come back like Muhammad Ali did. Believe me, I'm better than they are. That's not the point. I would probably garner of the popular vote, my guess is 10 to 15% of the popular vote, which means I would elect Hillary Clinton, and I'm not going to do it. So I could suck 15% of the vote away from the Republican candidate who might win, and then that's an automatic win for Hillary, so I'm not going to do it. I couldn't win, per se. I could not win as good as I am, as populist as I am, as straight as I am, whatever. I know the realities of the political world. It is the most corrupt world you can ever imagine, and then add a little something to that. Moreover, it doesn't suit my lifestyle. I'm not made for politics. I lack the gene for diplomacy, and I'll admit that. I somehow, in being made, missed the gene for diplomacy. It just isn't in me. I'm too blunt. I'm too straightforward. I don't have patience. I don't like to sit through meetings. I don't like to grovel for money. So how am I going to be in politics? I am where I belong. Do you understand that? Borders, language, culture, law, and order. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Yes, Fats Domino on the Savage Nation pre-Thanksgiving show. And Dr. Jekyll is in right now. We have put Mr. Hyde to rest for for the remainder of the show. I hope Mr. Hyde doesn't come back to haunt me tonight. I just am not in the mood for him. Stay away, Mr. Hyde. Dr. Jekyll, the good guy, from now until Monday when I go back on the air, then Mr. Hyde can return to business. But I have to be a good boy because it's family weekend. Everyone's up here now. Unbelievable. Eight of us are going to have dinner tomorrow in a little place that I go to. I'm looking forward to it because the first Thanksgiving with my granddaughter, who likes restaurants now, she's a year and a half old. Very social. I love when you see children grow. You know, they start out, of course, as they are, not knowing anything. And then you see them socializing, and then they become aware of people, and then you can get your name and this and that, name, rank, and then they get to know your name, rank, and serial number as they go on in life. You know what I hated the most when I was growing up was aunts who would come up to me when I was like 18 or 17 and say, they grab your cheek and almost rip your cheek off. Where did they get that grip from? That like a mafia grip. They get like a mafia grip on your cheek. It was like almost ripped your cheek off your face when you were 17 and say, I remember you when you were still making your diapers. Oh, that was great. Thanks, aunt. That was very, very, very ennobling. That really gave me a sense of masculinity. Oh, remember, I changed your diapers when you were nothing. I was 17 years old already, a man. And if I was in Ferguson, I'd be carrying a gun and looking to hold up a store, for God's sakes. And here she was, grabbing my cheek, as I say, like a... whatever. It's the Savage Nation. Enjoy tomorrow. And by the way, tomorrow is a very special show for you. Yes, it is.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Welcome to hour number three of The Savage Nation, free of Emperor Jones in this hour. No discussion of Emperor Jones. No siree, Bob. So we heard Officer Wilson speak. And let me tell you something. By dint of the fact that he even spoke on a national platform indicates he's telling the truth. Do you have any idea that the first thing a lawyer will tell someone who's accused of a crime is they'll never put him on the witness stand? Almost never do they let anybody go on a witness stand. So here's Officer Wilson, who wants to clear his name and reputation and set the record straight. He goes on the air. And let me read you some false claims about this case. The New York Post did a very good job of stating false claim and evidence. Okay, listen to the evidence, you fools out there. The false claim coming out of the vermin in the media is that Officer Wilson was the aggressor and that the lying drug-dealing witnesses claim the cop initiated the violence. But the evidence, which you left-wing fanatics will not look at, is that Brown was the aggressor. Pictures, photos submitted to the grand jury showed that Wilson's driver's side window was smashed. Did you know that, you idiots? And the driver's side mirror was bent inward. Do you know what that means, idiots? That shows that there was a struggle while the cop was still sitting in his patrol car. So let's start with that. False claim. Michael Brown's friend Dorian Johnson, whoever that creep is, and others said immediately following the August 9th shooting that Brown was shot in the back while running away from Wilson. What does the evidence actually show? Autopsy reports and grand jury testimony by other witnesses said Brown was shot as he ran toward officer Darren Wilson. Quote, the cop just stood there. Dang if that kid didn't start running right at the cop like a football player, head down. I heard three bangs, but the big kid wouldn't stop, close quote, a witness wrote in a personal journal that was submitted to the grand jury. Another false claim coming from the communist left. Here's the false claim. Brown's hands were up, quote, we know that this was an execution, said Brown family liar Benjamin Crump at an August 18th rally in Ferguson, pointing out that witnesses said Brown had his hands raised above his head. This means surrender, don't shoot. And the most hardened criminals in history, when they put their hands up, we didn't execute them. The Reverend Jesse High Jackson, a known shakedown artist, also called the killing an execution. The shakedown artist High Jackson, whose son is in prison, said, if it's done by an official with a badge on and a gun, it's a state execution. He told his lying friends on More Snotty Nonsense by Chicks in August. But what's the actual evidence, Jesse? His hands were not up. His hands were not up. An actual witness, Jesse, said this, quote, now I've heard lots of people talking about how he had his hands up. A witness testified he did not have his hands up. His hands were down at his sides, and he got to within maybe 6 or 10 feet from the officer, and the cop shot him, close quote. Additional false claims include Brown was shot 10 times, according to St. Louis County NAACP President Esther Haywood told local TV, that Brown was shot once and then 9 more times he lay in the street. Can you believe this lie? Evidence. Autopsy results submitted to the grand jury from St. Louis County Chief Medical Examiner concluded that Brown had been shot 6 times, all from the front. Shame on you, Esther Haywood. Now I know how you got your job at the NAACP. False claim. Brown was harmless. Family and friends described Brown as a college-bound gentle giant who was not violent and did nothing to provoke the shooting. Well, let's go back to the actual evidence. This gentle giant had just held up, let us say burglarized, a little liquor store and beat up the Indian shopkeeper, a guy who weighed about one-fourth his size. He threw the shopkeeper around like a rag doll. It's on videotape. You can see it right now in the Drudge Report. The Indian guy who owns the store called 911. That's how this started. So stop making the big lie that he was college bound. They're all brain surgeons when they're caught. They're on their way to becoming a brain surgeon and save the world. Well, he wasn't going to be a brain surgeon. Did he deserve to die? No, but all he had to do was put his hands up and surrender after beating up the cop. The evidence is he pummeled the cop. Officer Wilson was bruised in the face, neck, and scalp after he was hit in the face a couple of times, according to a police report. Wilson also reported jaw pain, according to a medical report, and said in his testimony, I felt that another one of those punches in my face could knock me out or worse. I've already taken two to the face, and the third one, he says, could be fatal if it hit me right. He's right. So that's the difference between the false claims being put out by the communist left and the professional agitators and the actuality of the witnesses. And the fact of the matter is, this is a terrible tragedy all around, and America is paying for it. And the main reason this happened is because of the news media. That's the main reason. Phone number is 855-400-7282. Now you can sound off. WABC, his name is Reno on WABC. Reno, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Good evening, Dr. Savage. How you doing? Hello?
Please don't ask me how I'm doing. We don't know each other. We're not friends. I'm glad you like me, but what's on your mind?
Okay, so let me get to the point. I want to commend Darren Wilson for doing the interview, right? Because I can only imagine what the last 2 months were like, having to watch the media stick more nonsense down the throat of all the viewers. He looked like a man who was dying to tell his side of the story, right?
He never, ever would have given that interview to left-winger George Stephanopoulos if he was lying. Never in a million years.
Kudos, Dr. Savage. On that note, so I didn't want to draw a bias, but I did draw a bias. Long story short, I apologize to him for even prejudging him. But in the process of coming to this revelation, I realized there's a number of other individuals like myself who are in this position right now. They look like zombies today, Dr. Savage, because they wanted to believe in the grip of their soul Mike Brown was violated. He wasn't wrong, right? Now what you have is you have this cop who tells this detailed story. It all makes sense. And now people are just, like I said, they're walking around like zombies because they feel bad that they're going to believe, that they want to believe the police officer now. And I know
they feel bad that the facts don't support their fantasy, in other words. But the big irony here is that if he had actually put his hands up and said, don't shoot, he would be in jail. He would have been arrested, and he'd be out on bail right now for the minor robbery and the assault on the Indian shopkeeper and an assault on a police officer. But he wouldn't be dead. So, unfortunately, he caused his own demise. It's that simple. But don't ask Jesse High Jackson what he thinks or Al Sharpton. They made their living on this. That's all. So they made a living like this. This whole thing is a living based on this situation. The mother, you're going to believe the mother? She has quite a little record herself. Another prize. Let's listen to clip 3 and you'll hear the mother's story. Maybe you believe her. I don't know.
I don't believe a word of it. I knew my son far too well to... He would never do anything like that.
Oh,
he would never provoke anyone to do anything to him, and he wouldn't do anything to anybody.
No.
I don't believe a word of it.
No, well, why would you believe a word of it? You created him. How could you believe a word of it? This standard. Anytime you ask anyone in New York, anywhere in the country, or after the perp, the mother says he was a good boy and he went to church. What is she going to say? He was a bad boy? She's looking for a big payday here, on top of it all. It's true she lost her son. That's heartbreaking for her. But the son was no doll, number one. And number two, he caused this, according to the evidence. I'm sorry if it doesn't match what you feel should have happened. What you feel doesn't matter. The law doesn't go on your feelings. The law goes on the evidence. It's that simple. Hartford, Connecticut, WRDC Radio. Ashley, you're up on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I don't understand how there's so much racism supposedly in this country. When I was in high school, I got passed over for a scholarship for another friend and grants for another friend who I know for a fact had worse grades than me. So the only racism in this country is white racism.
Well, you mean some call it reverse racism, but it's really not correct because racism is racism, and the only racism in America that is permitted today is against white people. We all know that. We know that there's a bias in hiring, there's a bias in admissions to colleges, there's a bias in scholarships. Wherever you turn, they're promoting minorities ahead of whites in order to make people feel good, and we all know it's to the detriment of America. I personally don't care, as someone said, if the cat is black or white as long as it can catch the mice. That's my personal feeling. How do you feel about that?
Listen,
let me repeat it in case you missed it. When it comes to police, I don't care if the cat is black or white as long as it catches the mice. And I feel the same way about nuclear scientists as I do about football players. As you know, if you look at the field, you will see a disproportionate number of a certain race on the football field or on the basketball court. Why is that? It's because they're better at the game. And so the same rules, if applied to academia, would have a better academic environment for all of us. And if the same rules applied everywhere else in America, we'd have a better America. But unfortunately, the rules that apply to the NBA do not apply to the rest of America, because, as I say, if they did, we'd have a more fair America. Now, the greatest beneficiary of this reverse racism or racism is the president himself. You know, and I know, that he got where he is largely because of a biased playing field every step of the way, people bent over backwards for him. And how has that worked out for America? Why is it that when we were promised that when women would become politicians, we'd have a quieter, more fair America? Well, just looking at Hillary Clinton or Dianne Feinstein or Nancy Pelosi, is it a better America with those women in power? I'll let you decide. And we were told that when minorities had more power, we'd have a more fair America. And so the first thing we do is we wake up to one twisted law after another, one violation of our laws and civility after another under Obama and Holder. And now finally, and this is not the end of it, he then twists the Constitution and turns it into a piece of toilet paper to grant amnesty to at least 5 million, maybe 40 million illegal aliens. And then he lies and says they're not going to be qualified for any benefits. But turns out that's another lie. Just as he lied about Obamacare, he lied about amnesty. And is this how other minorities want to look upon the first minority president? It's not a very good track record. It would have been nice if the first minority president wound up being heads above everyone else in terms of intense genius, fairness, and the ability to unite America. Unfortunately for us, the reverse is true. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO-IN.
We are a nation built on the rule of law. And so we need to accept that this decision was the grand jury's to make. There are Americans who agree with it, and there are Americans who are deeply disappointed, even angry. It's an understandable reaction. But I join Michael's parents in asking anyone who protests this decision to do so peacefully.
A body of pain and fuel of poverty, which is a weapon of mass destruction, precipitated by police action, triggered those riots. And that police behavior should, the police should have blacks and whites, men and women, but to be credible, this should reflect in the judges as well.
This guy's been around too long. He's been around so long, just a con man from the top to the bottom. And Obama's the same, only smoother. That's all. He's no different than Jesse or Al. They come from the same cut of cloth, just a little slicker, that's all. Slick Barry. Remember you used to call him Slick Willie about Bill Clinton? You can't say Slick Barry, though, right? You used to call Bill Clinton Slick Willie, remember? Can't call him Slick Barry. See, Barry was very slick. He's one of the best rhetoricians I've ever listened to, Mr. Obama. Got up there and he said some will appeal, and some will agree, some won't agree, and he joins them in their feelings. But he didn't say that we're a nation of laws and anyone who violates the law, and I'm speaking directly to you now, those of you out in the streets to protest, while I sympathize with you, anyone who breaks the law will be prosecuted to the full extent of the law, and I will bring civil rights charges against anyone who commits arson or loots. Now just go home. He didn't say that, did he? No, the most racially divisive president in American history winked and nodded while making believe he was a man in the middle. This is how he got where he is. He's very, very smart. Next up to bat will be Eric Holder. And they're going to try and railroad the officer under a federal civil rights statute and lead to a separate prosecution in order to keep this alive. At least another year or two, in order to stir up the masses and have them rioting just in time for the election when they can register them to vote. Because remember, these activities are all designed simply to register voters. But a federal case is very difficult to prove because the government would have to show not just that Officer Wilson improperly shot Brown, but also that he did it with the specific intention of violating the young man's civil rights. Impossible to prove. And even the fair-minded Attorney General Eric Holder said Monday night that, quote, federal civil rights law imposes a high legal bar in these types of cases. But he said the investigation remains ongoing. Why is it ongoing? Because he's got to keep stirring the pot. That's all. It's that simple. You got to keep stirring the pot. Look, it's not a pretty situation for any of us. No one is cheering this death. You know, when I heard his mother crying, I heard my own mother's voice, to be honest with you. When I heard Michael Brown's mother, her heart was broken. I mean, I heard my own mother. I heard my mama crying as if I had been shot in the street. So don't think I'm not compassionate for what happened. I understand it. It's a terrible situation for America. But what makes it worse are the rats in the media who try to stir the pot and these civil rights racketeers who make their living off racial hatred. Every report by every lowlife reporter, every fake journalist said, unarmed black teen shot by white policemen. They are the reason that the cities are burning. New York is preparing for more burning and looting over the Ferguson decision. The vermin on the left are threatening to take over Police Plaza. Now, who is doing this? Who are these people? They're not working today. Who are they? They are trained agitators of the far left. These are communist agitators by any means, this is all being run by the anti-American communist movement in the United States of America, the same movement that gave us Barack Obama. Write it down and laugh at it if you want. I don't care what you do. I know exactly what's going on. So New York's getting ready. Ferguson's getting ready for another night of fun. But it's not over yet. They won't stop. They won't stop. Nightfall's coming. The rats will be out in the streets again, burning and looting.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
So the president pardoned another turkey, adding another turkey to the millions already pardoned. We do not know, we're investigating, whether the turkey will be qualified for Social Security, Medicare, and Obamacare. Because we found out this morning that Social Security, Medicare, and Obamacare is actually open to illegal aliens under the amnesty plan, although he lied about it and said they weren't. Obama's plan to bring turkeys, I mean illegal immigrants, out of the shadows will make millions of illegal aliens eligible for Social Security and Medicare benefits, and they will eventually collect more than they have legally contributed. Thank you very much, Mr. Obama. We understand that the turkeys will now be added to the welfare rolls because of the trauma they suffered. Having been raised in a cage and having been deprived their rights as full human beings. Now, of course, they're not full human beings. They're turkeys. But, of course, to a liberal, anyone who can hunt and peck can vote. Because if you can stamp your claw on a voting, on a voting registration form, you're a Democrat automatically. It'd be a laughing matter if it wasn't a laughing matter. But you know what? I'm going to be laughing about it anyway because life goes on. I'll give you an example. It's the country was almost set on fire because of Holder, Obama, and the left-wing apparatus in this country, mainly the college professors who have nothing to do but stir up the youth to riot and protest about the oppressed rights, the oppressed minorities, or whatever. You know the whole story. Yesterday they closed the Lincoln Tunnel in New York City. College and high school kids who have nothing to do. Stoners raised like idiots since the crib. They blocked the Lincoln Tunnel in New York. They shut down the FDR Drive. And you know what? The police couldn't do anything because under the communist mayor in New York and the oppressive Hitlerian regime that we have in the White House, they're afraid to act. The police are now intimidated because Eric Holder has basically threatened them with federal civil rights actions if they do their job. So what would you do if you were a cop? Turn the other way and let them burn and loot and rape and murder. What are you going to do? Put your life on the line. If you stop a rioter, then Eric Holder says you violated their civil rights. So what are you going to do if you're a cop? The hardest job in the world. It's that simple. Federal government is constraining the police while the rioters loot and burn. That's who's doing it. But life goes on. The point is most of America doesn't give a rat's behind about the communists in the White House and their machinations with the useful idiots in the media. You know what? They're going on with their lives. They're traveling, or they're there. They're going to cook. They're going to be with friends and relatives for the better or for the worse. They're going to try to enjoy themselves for 4 days. And so that's why I say to you, I bring to you this eternal optimism, despite the regime that we're living through, the oppressive, fascistic Obama regime is overwhelmingly horrendous for most people. They are monsters, and they're going to be more monstrous as the days, approach. We have a silent opposition. It's not even a silent majority. We elected another party and they don't exist. As I've said several times, Mitch McConnell's in Kentucky hunting the turkey, the wild turkey, and Boehner is apparently somewhere drinking the wild turkey. There is no opposition party that I can tell. The country's on fire and they say nothing, not a word out of their mouths. Instead, the entire narrative is driven by these degenerates in the media whose entire living depends upon mayhem. And that's the name of the game. Now, there is other stuff that we can talk about, and obviously we will. We have the tape of Darren Wilson. We can play that for you if you want. We can do the Thanksgiving stuff. I'll play some music. But it's fundamentally open mic to mic Wednesday on the Savage Nation. And the questions I could raise for you are, why isn't anyone talking about Michael Brown's behavior prior to the confrontation with Officer Wilson? Have you all forgotten him beating up the small Indian shopkeeper that I've mentioned to you for days now? This poor, innocent child, Michael Brown, the hulking giant. Do you want to see the videotape of it where they now say it didn't happen? But let me tell you something. It did happen. He beat up an Indian shopkeeper and robbed a store. He threw the Indian shopkeeper around like a rag doll. How come only immigrant rights activists aren't saying a word about this thug who beat up the Indian, who then called 911? Wilson wasn't looking to hunt someone down. He was looking for a thug who just beat up a shopkeeper and robbed a store. The mother says, I don't believe a word of it, but that mom is really a trustworthy character. Oh, yeah, she has no history of her own, you know. Oh, no, she's as pure as the driven snow. So look at the real history of the story, and you'll see the real history of the story. Yeah, okay, that's the country I'm living. Oh, here's a story historically that I was going to tell you. I got sidetracked. The riots you're seeing now are part of the historical riots of communism that we have seen for a long time. What you don't know is that in Germany, in the early 1920s, you had riots, you had boycotts, you had people being beaten up in the streets by communist mobs. You don't know this. The communists had created street gangs. They were running wild in the streets of Germany. They were threatening the middle class. And as a result, the black shirts were formed. You don't know any of this history. And don't think I'm making Hitler into a good guy, because I'm not. Hitler was a monster, but Hitler's monstrosities were a result of the excesses of the communists in Germany in the 1920s. It's an historical fact. In other words, the black shirts under Hitler, or should we call them the brown shirts? It was the black shirts under Mussolini. The gangs of Nazis that were formed to beat up the communists and drive them off the streets because they couldn't take a breakdown of law and order in Germany. You don't know any of this. And then, of course, it spiraled out of control. Because once you awaken the sleeping giant, you never know where it's going to end. Once the guillotine starts to fall, you don't know whose neck is going to wind up underneath that sword. Who knows? Whatever. But we have a lot to be thankful for when you think about it. We're thankful that Obama was just voted out of office. We're thankful that we still have a putative democracy and they threw the Republicans in and we threw Nancy Pelosi and a left-wing stupidity out. You wouldn't know it by the vermin in the media, and you wouldn't know it by the orchestrated riots in America that they just lost a big election. You wouldn't know that Obama's amnesty is unpopular even with Democrats. You wouldn't know any of that because we've lost the media, but we lost the media a long time ago. There is no press. There's only talk radio and the internet. Other than that, there's nothing. There's nothing that stands between this gang and absolute and total power. You understand that, don't you? And that's why, as I'm saying to you, we're very, very lucky and we have a lot to be thankful for. We voted and we said no to a Barack Obama and his policies. That's the tip of the iceberg. Everyone knows how devious this guy is, okay? But the fact of the matter is, he was just voted out because of that. But you wouldn't know it, because immediately the Alinsky crowd figured out how to cover it up by stirring up the hatred in the streets. You get it? Now, the police let these animals in the streets protest and burn before they did anything. And Anderson Cooper and Schlepper Smith and all the other geniuses in the media said, oh, why are the police letting them do this? Where are the police? Do you know who's in charge, Schlepp? No, this is run like amateur hour. I was shocked listening to this. You mean if the police had acted sooner, Schleppy, you wouldn't have said they acted too soon, Schlepper? This is what passes for journalism today. Burn, baby, burn. They want it to burn. They want it to burn. That's what they make their living on. They make their living on violence, pain, misery, and suffering. And that's why they didn't like whatever the police did. Police didn't go out. They were wrong. Police did go out. They went out too late. The announcement was held during the day while good, honest, working people were getting home from work so they wouldn't be affected by these street rats. Again, they did it wrong. Every genius, I don't know why they didn't do it so late at night. Why didn't they do it during the day? Of course they did it at night when the hardworking people got home from a hard day's work so they could pay for the welfare and pay for the insurance premiums that will pay for their little fun. That's why they did it at night. They knew that the animals were going to riot and burn and loot. So we know that the game is loaded. It's a loaded game. It's a twisted field. And the cops can't win no matter what they do. The worst and most difficult job in America is being a policeman. The most difficult job in the world is being a policeman in the United States of America. We heard the newscasters, Schlepp Smith of Fox News amongst them, Anderson Blooper of CNN. Where are the police? Oh, the fires are going on. Oh, where are they? Oh, this is being mishandled. Well, why are there no police out there? Well, because if the police had gone out to take away the matches from the children, you would have said that they were violating their civil rights by taking away their matches and gasoline, right? Isn't that what you specialize in, Anderson? Of course. They wanted both ways. Whatever the cops did was wrong. Where is the law and order candidate that we all need to save this country from the distress that Obama has put us in? Is there one Republican candidate who is a law and order man? And I don't know of one. I don't know one of them who speaks about borders, language, and culture the way I do. And moreover, I don't know of one of them who speaks about law and order. Where is that strong candidate who will get up and say, we want law and order in America, and I'm the new sheriff in town, and if you elect me, I will bring law and order to America? You haven't heard that, have you? And then Obama gave a speech the other day saying that America, when I get through in a couple of years, they want a new car smell in the White House. Now, that was, of course, a way of destroying Hillary Clinton's candidacy, as you well know, because they know she gives off anything but a new car smell, and we don't have to get into any derogatory commentary going forward. But she is certainly not the new car smell America wants. It is wide open for a Republican law and order candidate to take the presidency. It is his to have. It is his or hers to have. Do you realize that? We need a law and order candidate. And that's all I want to say at this junction. There's an email from a black gentleman who's unnamed, and he says he's a conscientious objector. And here's what the individual wrote. He said, if Darren Wilson was black, we would not be having this conversation. While I feel sorrow for Michael Brown's family, I'm sick and tired of my people using race as an excuse for bad behavior. He writes, race doesn't entitle you to steal a big screen TV from Walmart or break the windows of honest business owners. Race is now an excuse for riots, and every white cop is now a bigot who runs around killing black people. He says race needs to be eradicated from the social consciousness. If the politicians and the media didn't spend as much time reminding us we are separate and unequal, we would be like all the other countries where racism isn't even consideration. The word African American needs to be removed from any federal or local government and replaced with the word American. He writes, let's stop categorizing people. That way we can look past ourselves and focus on making America a proud nation of one color. Michael Brown and Trayvon Martin didn't deserve to die, but let's not make this about civil rights. Let's make it about violence and the behaviors that led to the shooting of these two young men. Our race needs more Martin Luther King-minded role models and less Jesse Jackson, Al Sharptons. I would add Eric Holders and Barack Obamas, by the way. That's an interesting email. I don't think he's the only one writing that. Be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Well, as we get ready for Thanksgiving tomorrow, we all have an awful lot to be thankful for. You say, well, how can I be thankful? My life is so hard. Well, that may be true, and you may be suffering. You may have suffered loss, and certainly that's something that's a little different for all of us, but we all face loss. And no matter how great your loss is, you're still living. And life must be celebrated. There's a saying from my people which says, therefore choose life. Life is sacred, and he who saves a single life, it is as though he has saved the entire world. And so your life is worth saving. Your life is worth living. Why? Because as bad as life may be for some people listening to this program, at the end of life, there are no options. While you're living, you still have all the options. And as dark as the tunnel may be, there is always light at the end of the tunnel. There is always another dawn. We in America, although we are living under the hell of this deceitful, race-baiting, divisive president and his cronies, where the country is being run more like by a gang than by an administration, we have a lot to be thankful for because we still have a democracy. We went to the polls a few weeks ago. We threw them out. No matter what they did, we threw them out. And in a few short weeks, we're going to have a new government. Yes, it's a tepid Republican government, but it's all we've got to work with, and we have to work with them. We have to convince them to turn back the clock on amnesty and make certain that these folks that Obama has just, with the stroke of a pen, legitimized, will not be sucking our Social Security and Medicare dry. Did you know that Obama's plan to bring in millions of illegal immigrants will make millions of them eligible for Social Security and Medicare benefits, and likely allow them to eventually collect more than they have legally contributed? This part of the plan was not told to you, but he did it, and he must be stopped. My feeling is he will be stopped, and America's borders, language, and culture will slowly but surely be rebuilt and repaired with the wishes of the American people, which is why I say this Thanksgiving is a very hopeful one. Yes, some cities are burning. Yes, the federal government is constraining the local police from doing their jobs. Yes, the federal government seems to want the rioters and the looters running wild in the streets, and we know the reasons why. Yes, we have a minor civil war. And I have, on a personal note, an awful lot to be thankful for. And I don't want to divulge that much about my life, but I have, over the years, told you my long road and how I wound up here on the radio and as a successful author. This year saw the publication of my best-selling book, Stop the Coming Civil War. Now, I could celebrate it and say it's been 5 or 6 weeks on the New York Times list. It's doing very well. But that's not why I'm thankful. I'm thankful that I had the brains and the vision to write the book and convince a publisher to take a chance with me on publishing the book. I'm thankful that I have the radio to warn the American people about what this devious administration would be doing. As you look around this country, tell me I was wrong. You tell me these riots are ongoing by accident? They're fanning the flames. You know that, and I know that. We know that Obama met with the riot leaders a day after the election and told them to stay the course. What does that mean? Keep burning and looting? This is an outrage. This is a total outrage, but we have to remain positive. We have to stay on course. So I have a lot of thanks to give, not only to God for giving me the ability to write and to broadcast every day, but to my deceased parents for bringing me into this world. And most importantly, I want to thank all of you who listen to the Savage Nation on a daily basis. You are the bedrock of America. You are the foundation of the future. You are America itself. And on that note, I want to say God bless America and have a wonderful day tomorrow. Good night, and God bless America again.
Savage.